putting the focus on the 36th district. There's a Republican primary, and incumbent state rep Brian Shoup is with me today. Brian, good morning to you. Hold on 1 second. I got to turn on your microphone. Good morning, Brian.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, thank you.
We'll use that microphone.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for having me this morning. It's always, you just got to run with the punches.
That's right. Good to have you here. Hey, listen, so why do you want to do this again? You want to run for re-election?
Yeah,
what's driving you to be a state
rep? You know, that's a very good question. I'm a small business owner by heart. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an innovator. And I see a lot of things throughout the state and throughout the 36th district that I think need leadership and need support. But when I say leadership, I think need a different type of leadership than we're seeing at the state level. Right now, I think many of your listeners would agree with me, the type of leadership that we're seeing in the state of Delaware I know what's best for you. I'm going to tell you what to do. And here's how we're going to run the state. And I think the leadership that we need right now is going back to a model where there is a model of public servants, people who go door to door, who listen to individuals in their community, develop community-driven solutions, and actually start to tackle the big challenges of healthcare, of education, of our natural resources, protecting our natural resources. These things that have been kicked down the road for, 20, 30 years that instead of telling us how we're going to do it, we need leaders that are going to listen. And I think I have I know that I have the experience through being a small business owner, being the former mayor of Milford, and the work that I've done so far the 3 years up at the state legislative hall of being that type of leader. And that's what I want to do, is encourage and promote that sort of leadership to start turning the tide to seeing more of those leaders taking over in leadership positions.
What do you think you're most proud of in your last 3 years of service in the state house?
Yeah, there's quite a few things, but I'm one of the things that I'm really proud of is our work on looking at increasing the levels of primary care doctors in our communities here, especially in Sussex County. As a mayor of Milford, I worked alongside of Bay Health Sussex campus to reimagine healthcare in Sussex County. And one of the challenges that we've really seen come alongside of that is the challenge that we have that individuals cannot get a primary care doctor. Either they are months out for their own getting a meeting or an appointment with their own primary care doctor, or their own doctor is retiring or mm-hmm. going to concierge care. So I've worked on the health committee to say, how do we first get primary care doctors here in the state of Delaware? One of them was helping make it easier for private industry to create residency programs here in the state of Delaware. And there's been a few, including Bay Health, who have done that. Now they've got close to 80 individuals who are practicing residency programs here in Kent and Sussex. And the second was creating loan repayment programs for docs to practice, new docs who come right out of medical school to practice and stay here in the state of Delaware, creating a public-private partnership, which is not just taxpayer money, but also has the hospitals and the insurance companies pay in as well. We want to keep our docs here. Residency programs across the nation are a great way to keep doctors here. 81% of the time when a doc has a residency program in a community, they stay in that community. And that's something that I'm really proud of, is that we have an aging population. We have a population that for I know none of your listeners fall under this, but is relatively unhealthy compared to other areas. So right. We need more primary care docs, because they're the first defense of healthcare here in Delaware.
Let's learn a little bit more about Brian Shoup. On your campaign site, you talk about mindfulness, like you're a practitioner of mindfulness.
Yes.
What is mindfulness?
Well, I'm glad that you picked that up. I talk about many things, including my, what I've done in public service and also what I've, you know, my work as a small business. But I have mindfulness on there as well because I am an avid reader. I'm up to book number 28 for the year. And I also am a student of political philosophy. So I talk a lot about the philosophy behind the votes that we take, and I do a lot of thinking. You know, when I talk with people, when I listen to people, I've got my own place in my house that I sit and I think about the large challenges that we're going through, and I sit and I, you know, take a piece of paper and I write down what I'm thinking about, and I take about an hour a day just to think about what's going on, the challenges that I have, the challenges that I have through my businesses, mm-hmm. the challenges that I'm facing through being a public servant. And I think that's really important. I think we've gotten to a situation, a lot of people have gotten to a situation where we're on the phone all the time, or we're you know, paying attention to social media so much that we forget to put those things aside and kind of focus within our own minds and start to give an opportunity for these beautiful, you know, minds that God gave us to really focus on the great things that they can do if we just reflect on ourselves and reflect on the gifts that we have. And that's what I like to talk about a lot.
Is it a spiritual practice?
I think in some part it is. I mean, I'm a follower of Christ. I've given myself over to Christ, and I definitely, when I'm starting to write things down and when I'm going for that hour or more, I do take a lot of teachings, through the Bible that I've, you know, that I've had over the years. So I would say so.
Can you answer a question? What
sure.
should happen to Kathy McGinnis, the state?
Yeah. I forgot that you're a rapid fire guy.
I can't. Well, we've got limited time. Can we segue yeah. from the spiritual yeah. rights to some other issues? What should happen, or do you think she should resign or be removed?
You know, it's an interesting issue because we'll probably have to vote on it, and I don't know that, you know, she has two misdemeanors.
Well, they say three.
Or three, excuse me, three yeah. misdemeanors. But I don't know that she should be removed, and I'm going to have to look at the facts of the case because, you know, they're talking about that she
was found guilty by a jury.
Found guilty by a jury.
Of crimes.
Yeah, of crimes. So I'm going to look at that, look at the actual court case, and I will make a decision on that. But I haven't made a decision yet. The thing that really disturbs me is the crimes that she has been found guilty of are – I see that happen up at Legislative Hall every single day. Not saying that that makes it correct. Not saying that that makes it okay. But I think that we need to go further and deeper.
These are public correct. Conflict of interest, structuring, and official misconduct. Do you see these things being done at Legislative Hall?
Oh, yeah. Every single day. And I bring them out. And I bring them out on the floor. I see them happening by Democratic leadership. And I talk about them on the floor. I put them on the record. I put them out to the media. And
which Democrats are breaking the law?
Well, I see. You know, we brought up that in the last vote by mail that they were changing, not only unconstitutional, but they were changing the voting in the middle of an election. They were changing voting laws in the middle of an election with 70 right. days to go for a primary. So, you know, I think ultimately I will vote to, you know, to take her out of the position. But I think we can use that as a catalyst to say, you know what, we've got to take a deeper dive because there are people who are abusing their power. We have two people who are in power, who are giving money through grant and aid and through the bond bill to organizations that they work for. So, you know, these things are happening every single day, and we need to be more vigilant on making sure that these conflicts of interest are seen by the public and they end.
Back during COVID and our Carney's, the governor's state of emergency time with mask mandates mm-hmm. and business closures and whatnot, a lot of people in my audience said, where are the Republicans? Where yeah. are they? Where are they standing yeah. up for us? They didn't feel like they had a voice. Did you agree with some of Governor Carney's mandates, or what was your general feeling about how he handled the COVID?
Yeah, I don't think it was handled properly. I was in his office talking to him, especially about the small businesses having to shut down. I discussed with him. I didn't understand, and I think many of your listeners would agree, how could you shut down a small business that ran the same as a big box store that was able to stay open? Right. The argument was the NCAIS codes were, what they were going by. But I went to his office. I called him. I also called him about closing down churches, because I had many pastors that came to me and asked about that as well. So there's something that I fought for, very diligently, trying to get that passed. I also went on the record with Representative Collins to try to put a limitation to executive orders during emergency orders. I also put legislation out there about FOIA, that it could not be suspended. As you know, it was suspended for 7 months. And, this is something that continues to happen as long as we have a slanted legislature that is basically a supermajority as Democrats. And I think that is that is where we get into trouble, where there's no balance in state government.
Let's talk about abortion for a minute.
Sure.
Do you feel there should be any restrictions in Delaware on abortion? And if so, what would they be?
Yeah, I'm pro-life. I do think that there should be some restrictions. Even when I talk with people who are very pro-choice, they agree that there should be weeks. Many of them say 25 weeks should be a restriction. I would say at least 25 weeks should be a restriction that is in Delaware. One of the things that I've talked to people after this, obviously it can be a very emotional and personal issue and to talk for people to talk about. And I would like to see a larger discussion on the matter with people to sit down and talk about it. I think there's a lot of places where people can agree on both sides of the issue. And I think that that's a good first stepping stone instead of, I know people are very passionate about it. And I know that people want to go out and hold signs for both issues and be, yelling about it. But I think the first step is to say, where can we come together on the issues? I think there's very many parts. I think a 25 week or a 20 week or something that a lot of people within that 80% in the middle can agree with. And we can start to work from there to see where we can.
It's 6 months, isn't it?
It's a pretty long time. It really is. And I think we can start to work from there and say, how can we protect life even further?
Another issue that will be talked about, should biological born males be allowed to compete against girls in high school sports?
No.
Should we have an ID to vote?
Sure. Yeah, of course. I voted for that.
Yes. Do you think people should be restricted from the beaches of the Delaware Bay to protect the red knot?
Yeah. That's a very interesting. I do believe there is places in Delaware where we should protect animals. I'm not sure exactly the red knot, exactly, what you're okay. That space. But yes, there should be certain places where we protect animals.
How would you feel about... Do you think Donald Trump should be the Republican nominee in 2024?
I think he should wait till after the midterms to announce anything, because he's a polarizing candidate, no matter what you agree
right.
with him or not.
That's a good answer. The gun bills. Do you feel any of these gun bills that passed are unconstitutional?
Oh yes, I believe they're all unconstitutional. I'm a lifetime member of the NRA, DSSA. The DSSA actually endorses me in this race, in this primary race, and I've joined their efforts to go to the courts this summer.
Yeah. What else do the people need to know about what's going on at Legislative Hall these days? I mean, you really, these are some big comments that you made today about how there's corruption every day in the General Assembly. I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, we're, if you look at my record and you look at my Facebook and on my website, you can see that I've been going after the leadership up there about the way that they are suppressing the minority voices up there. I actually... as you may know, for quite some time, the Republicans have been stating that their voice hasn't been heard in committee. So I actually took that and said, is that just campaign rhetoric or can we actually substantiate those claims? So I went to the chief, I went to the individual who's in charge of putting those bills forward, the chief clerk, excuse me, and said, how many times when somebody puts through a bill, how many times does it actually get to committee? And can you break them down by minority and majority sponsors? So they did that for me, and I got the numbers. And for if you go to the House Admin Committee, where's the Democratic leadership is in charge of that committee, if you were a Democrat and put a bill forth to that committee, 83% of the time that was heard in committee, that bill was heard in committee. But if you were a Republican and put a bill up, only 36% of the time that bill was heard in committee. So those voices are being suppressed by the House rules. All bills have to be heard within 15 days. So those rules are being broken every single day up there. And that's something that I put out to the media. It's something that I put out to on social media, up to all my pages. And it's something that we need to stand up against. You know, the committee process is somewhere where voices are supposed to be heard. Voices are, you know, whether you like them or not, that's where you have the debate. That's where bills can be discussed, where they can be stronger, where you can make them. Sometimes you hear something that is very helpful that you may not like the overall bill, but can evolve into something else that can help. And those voices are being suppressed against the House rules. And it's something that I'm going to go on the floor the first day of next year, and actually I have a whole list of amendments to the House rules that I'm going to propose the first day next year. It's never been done before. People just say the House rules, everybody says yay, and it goes through. But I'm going to put all the amendments on there the first day and make everybody say yes or no, and we're going to hold their feet to the fire.
Right, get people on record, hopefully.
Yeah, and they'll know that we're serious on the first day. You know, they'll know that we came to play that year.
Legal marijuana, recreational marijuana, what was your vote on that?
So this is a stark difference between my opponent and I. I was opposed to legalizing recreational marijuana, but he supports it. So that is a stark difference between us.
Do you know of any other stark differences that you want to highlight? In the Republican primary, what do you think?
Yeah,
are the big differences?
You know, the one thing that I think is a very stark difference is if you look at our, you know, the things that we say we're going to do or say that we support seem very similar, but you know, I've done those things. And that I say that I'm going to support. You know, when we talk about strengthening our local economy, I've created jobs for our small businesses with you know, Fur Baby Pet Resort in Milford. I've got we have 20 plus jobs that we've created. We rehabilitated a 20 year vacant building and created jobs, construction jobs by doing that. Legislatively, we created the FAST Act alongside Senator Brian Pettyjohn to help scholarships for vocational trade jobs with HVAC, electric, coding, that sort of thing. So I have the experience and have actually, for lack of a better term, walked the walk. And I think that's a huge stark difference in addition to the that I oppose legalizing marijuana.
Right. You're going to get the final word. A couple of quick text message questions, and then we're going to be finished here today with Brian Shoup. In light of his, this is how they write it. I'm reading a text here, instant text into the studio.
Mm-hmm.
In light of his pro-life claim, can Brian Shoup explain his vote on HB 31 to decriminalize abortion in 2021? Delaware Family Policy Council called this Planned Parenthood's bill.
So the decriminalize was strictly just to change the code. In the state of Delaware, it was already decriminalized, and we were matching the code with the law. I do not think that we should, if it is a legal law in the state of Delaware, I don't think that we should have a code that says any different. And that's why I voted to match them up. If we want to have it be a pro-life state, then we should change the law itself, not have a conflicting code.
And, which gets back to my other question, you know, what law would you support?
Yeah, I think the first step would be the 20 weeks. I think that would make sense. I think that would bridge a gap with people who are maybe a little bit reluctant to kind of push even further. And then we could start having conversations from there of moving towards a more pro-life state.
This is a Republican question.
Yeah.
Someone says, did Brian vote to keep Jane Brady on as GOP party chair?
I don't get to vote that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not my vote.
Right. It's members of the party, right?
Correct. Yeah.
But you typically don't, like elected officials don't.
Elected officials don't. It's actually party leadership that does that.
Yeah. All right. Final word. What do you want to say to the voters, Brian? 36th District, Milford, Ellendale, north of Milton, Slaughter Neck, Slaughter Beach area. What do you want to say in closing? The floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I've had a wonderful experience with alongside of the residents of the 36, meeting the objectives of, you know, voting integrity, parental rights, Second Amendment, and locally we've worked very well together and actually met objectives on healthcare, growing our local economy, securing our farmland, and we've set goals together, we've met goals together. We've set priorities, and I'm looking forward to doing it again in the future. You know, I think when you look at a position to run for the state assembly, the General Assembly, it's a job, and you have to really look at it as a job interview, and you need somebody with experience. You need somebody who has shown that they can meet the job requirements, has shown that they have the ability to do so. And I'm looking forward to it. I have a real passion for serving my community. I have a real passion for making sure that our voices are heard, our conservative voices are heard up in Dover. And I'm looking forward to pushing conservative voices throughout the state of Delaware.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
Thanks. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
My focus on the 36th district continues. Last hour, we heard Brian Shoup, and now we have a challenger, Patrick Smith, in the studio. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning, and thanks for having me in.
Good to have you here. What is driving you to be a state rep? Tell me the idea behind running in the 36th district.
Well, I think that, you know, that I represent the local jurisdiction and the constituents in the state or in our district. And I really appreciate, you know, the different walks of life, the farmers and the watermen and all the different industries we have. I think more or less I'm a people person. I'm a man of the people. I'm not a career politician. So I'm really here just as a really normal human being, just trying to make a change. I think we need more new voices in Dover and somebody that just actually knows what the people want and not using this area as a stepping stone in their political career.
A little bit about your background, since you are the challenger. We may not know what you do or where you're from and that sort of thing.
Oh, yes. I live with my wife down in Ellendale, Delaware. We have two labs, and I work remotely for an out-of-state hospital system. I work in medical informatics. I also do have a small landscaping business, but that has been put on the shelf with the campaigning going on. I have my bachelor's degree from West Virginia University, go Mountaineers. And I also have graduated from Wilmington University with my MBA, Master's of Business Administration and Information Systems.
What do you think are the big differences between you and Brian Shoup? What are the key differences?
Well, I think that mostly I'm not really a politician. Like we were just discussing, I've been doing this for 30 days. I've been 30 days on the job, and I think I'm a real life person. I know what the people want. I speak to actual normal people every day, and you know, I'm actually going to vote the way that my constituents believe that we should be voting and not what gets me popularity in Dover and Newcastle County.
Do you think your opponent is doing that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the voting record states it. That's not smear. That's not me creating things. You can go right on the State of Delaware website and look at the different bills he's voted on. And I think that those votes that have been placed by him don't accurately reflect, you know, District 36. Right. That's just where I stand. So we need a change.
Do you have any specific examples?
Well, I mean, you know, we brought up the HB 31, which is decriminalization of abortion. In my opinion, instead of codifying abortion, we should have probably been fighting the bill in general and not further cementing abortion into our law in our state.
Yeah. What kind of restriction should we have on abortion in Delaware, do you think?
I mean, I think in the, you know, if there's rape or incest, obviously, if the mother is going to die, you know, that's something she should definitely have, you know, choice over. As for when we should be terminating a pregnancy, I mean, that's a gray area. You know, I'm not committing to like any specific period of time, 12 weeks, 20 weeks, you know what I mean? If you're getting towards 6 months, in my mind, you're basically aborting a full-born fetus. So I think we have plenty of alternatives for contraception, starting with abstinence, and all the way up to, if we are talking 12 weeks or 16 weeks for abortion, I think that gives you and everybody more than enough time to make a decision on what needs to be done.
We talked earlier about Brian's practice of mindfulness, and that got us into the like spiritual issues a little bit. Do you have a particular faith or anything that drives your worldview and decision-making?
Well, it didn't take me to 35 to give myself to God. I mean, I went to Catholic school at Holy Cross in Dover. I was an altar server. I did the Latin Mass. I'd never actually memorized the Latin Mass. My priest up there, Father Hanley, he always tried to get me to memorize the Latin Mass, but I never could. I had to read it out of the book, you know, but that was just how it was. So I did do it. And, you know, so I've always been a faith-driven person. My parents have always driven faith into me, my grandparents. And that's just been something we are. We're grassroots people. It's not something that I'm just using as a talking point to try to, you know, get voters on my side. And
Different issues. Kathy McGinnis, the state auditor, should she be removed from office?
Sure. I mean, it's another example of the Democrats' corruption in our state. I mean, we could go back to Senator Brown and, you know, his issues that he had with, you know, public restaurant, you know, assaulting a woman, all the way to now with McGinnis. You know, they just continue to get let off the hook. It's all Newcastle. It's corrupt in Newcastle. And if we let her off the hook now, then, you know, what's that set a precedent for? We need to start laying the hammer down on these corrupt politicians now.
Should biological born males be allowed to compete against girls if they be so-called transgender?
I disagree with that. I mean, these you're talking about Title IX. They fought hard to get Title IX in place, and now we're allowing males to re-enter the women's arena for sports. That's just not fair to me.
How do you feel the pandemic was handled when we had a state of emergency and we had mask mandates and business closures and that sort of thing? Did the governor handle that well? What would you have done differently? What do you think? What's your general comment on that period of time here?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think that the governor basically overstepped just about every facet of his leadership capabilities. He should not have been shutting down businesses and, you know, trying to overextend the state of emergencies without any input from the state house or the Senate, to me was unlawful. And I don't think that one man should be controlling all these people and citizens. I mean, that's just not his job. Contrary to, you know, what my opponent said, he did not back that bill that limited the amount of state of emergencies that the governor could implement. So he was not a sponsor on that bill, unless, you know, they've recreated it online, but you can
go Rich Collins bill.
The Mitch Collins bill. Yep. He's not listed as a sponsor on that bill. You can Google the bill, look at it on the State of Delaware website. He is not listed as a sponsor.
Okay. I think he told us in the last hour that he was.
He's not listed on it.
We'll have to look. We'll have a Dan Gaffney Morning Show fact checker. All right. Anyway,
we're used to that by now.
Yeah. Should what about these voting bills? And should you have to have an ID to vote?
I mean, I have to have an ID to buy a can of spray paint, Dan. So, I mean, why would I not have an ID to cast a ballot for a local representative?
What is your opinion on the these gun bills that have been signed by the governor? And do you think they're constitutional, any of them?
Well, no, I definitely think that the Second Amendment is off limits. You know, I'm not just a member of the DSSA. I participate in the DSSA's efforts. I've been in the city, you know, I've been in Dover when they were rallying for gun rights. Yesterday, I participated in a fundraiser they had. I am a member, but I'm also a participating member. And I think that, you know, the Second Amendment is off rights because once they start chipping away at them, they don't get them back. So.
And talk about that participating member. What have you been doing in terms of the Delaware State Sportsmen's Association and these to fight these bills?
Well, back when, you know, during COVID, when, you know, obviously there was a lot of radical bills trying to be passed, I did attend quite a bit of rallies up at Dover. It stood next to the actual senators like Dave Lawson that were trying to fight these bills and retain our Second Amendment rights. I've always been an active member of DU, Whitetail Outfitters, and DSSA. I go to all their dinners, fundraisers. That's something I've always done. I'm not just starting now to try to get into office.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you have any... other key differences between you and your opponent that you would like to highlight? We touched on it a little bit.
I mean, I'm not a career politician. Like I said before, I'm a normal person. Belief-wise, you know, I don't think that misleading constituents is the way to be and to get into office. As for the legalizing marijuana, I've never actually formally stated that I support it one way or the other. Do I think I should be in people's homes telling them what they can do? No. Do I also think we should be telling employers that they have to accept marijuana, you know, as a legal drug that someone could be taking? No. That's kind of where I start on that. So if we're going to bring it up, I might as well address it so that way.
Yeah, I think I had asked how he voted on recreational marijuana, and he said that's a big difference, that you were supported recreational marijuana.
I've never actually formally stated that, but I don't think somebody should be sitting in jail costing taxpayers money for a dime bag of weed. That's just my opinion, so.
Patrick Smith is here, 302-839-1059. We have environmental laws that prevent people from walking on the beaches when there are piping plover nests. And we hear about the endangered red knot bird and how it migrates through the Delaware Bay. Should we restrict humans off Slaughter Beach in that area during red knot migration?
I mean, I know nothing about red knot migration, but there's 365 days in a year, and if it's 3 or 4 or 5 days to let these things reproduce and to not go extinct, then I know, what can you do about it? You know what I mean? It's just not something I think that we should be fighting against. We should try to let the species, you know, maintain and not, you know, overstep our boundaries as humans.
All right. 302-839-1059. Here's somebody that says, let's see. Brian talked about experience being important. That's what's wrong in politics. No term limits. We need younger, more diverse folks stepping up to serve and then leaving. Not elected officials staying indefinitely and touting the importance of experience. Patrick sounds fine. What is your view on term limits?
Well, I think you could look around right now and see that there's pros and cons. I mean, you know, look at somebody like Dave Wilson, who does so much for our state, and he's multifaceted. He's everywhere, you know, doing everything he possibly can to try to help the state of Delaware. Meanwhile, you have other politicians who are in there who just are just soaking up air, and they're just not really doing anything or supporting their constituents. Luckily, I think we have to drive challengers and get people out. We have to bring the youth out. That's one of my targeted bases is young Delawareans, young Milfordians, trying to get people out to the polls, get them reengaged in politics and not make it so hush-hush or taboo, because that's what they like. That's what they need. That's what keeps the establishment in place.
On the other hand, Ed in Slaughter Beach says, how can we expect you to represent our community and take on Democrat state leadership when you've never held even a local leadership role in the community?
Well, you have to start somewhere. And, you know, if everybody had to have experience, you know, I've learned from my personal experiences in my field that I work in, you have to start somewhere and you have to get in there and just roll the sleeves up and learn. I learn quickly. And, you know, it's two alternatives. You have two choices, the standard what's going in there now or the new choice. So.
Yeah,
that's up to the citizens. That's what's good about America.
Yes. Michael has a question or a comment. Michael, you're on the air with Patrick Smith.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Good morning, Patrick. Good morning. Hey, Patrick, you sound really great. I think some of the things that you stated were fantastic. And let's face it, new blood is always a good thing, you know. But question for you. So you stated that Governor Carney way overstepped his boundaries on everything, which is the majority of the Republican voters feel that as well. However, we did feel in Delaware that the Republicans were pretty quiet during this entire thing. So if you were in office, what would you have done differently than everybody else so that we could have maybe gotten things taken care of or gotten some stuff passed? That's what I'll hang up and I'll listen.
Good question. All right, Patrick.
Great question. I mean, I think that goes back to what I was stating earlier, that we need more proactive leaders and not just someone that's dropping a vote in a ballot box. Look at Dave Lawson during COVID. He was up on the Capitol steps, you know, basically protesting the Capitol building being closed. We need more people to stand on street corners and shout for the citizens and say that this is wrong. To remain quiet and mum is just not what you're put in office to do. I think that's what I bring is a lot of energy, and I'm willing to go to bat for my people.
All right. Two texts on the same topic, so I'll just kind of combine it. Somebody here says, ask Mr. Smith if he could tell me how many people are in Delaware prisons for a dime bag of weed. And the next person said, nobody goes to jail for possessing a dime bag of weed. Get real. All right. So, commenting on the dime bag of weed.
I said it in jest, but, you know, as always, I'm trying to reduce taxpayers' obligations for things that, especially nonviolent crimes. I don't think that we should be have our prisons completely loaded when we should be targeting gun crimes that we actually only processed 80% of last year in Delaware.
Right.
So there's my answer.
Patrick Smith in the studio would like Republicans to vote for him. So if you have the floor here, sir, what do you want to say to these Republicans that will make the decision in the 36th? Now, the September primary.
Yes, sir. November 13th.
Yeah, what would you like to say to them as we near the end of our time?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, I know I bring a lot of energy of true conservative values. I'm a Catholic. I'm a gun owner. I stand up for Second Amendment rights. I'm pro-life. And, you know, I'm willing to go to bat to try to reduce the size of our government. I think big government is just not the way that we should be living as citizens. Take my, you know, experience into account. I am a smart person. I did finish an MBA, and I'm willing to take that same energy and willingness to learn to Dover and fight for the constituents of Milford. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to represent. I'm not concerned about extending my political career anywhere else. So if you're willing to get fresh faces and fresh voices, I'll be vocal, visible, and vigilant. I'll be seen in the community. I'll be accessible, and definitely won't be a no-show. So that's all I have to say, and I appreciate everyone's vote on September 13th.
Patrick, thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.